The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints holds its annual General Conference. A group of LDS women seek the priesthood, and the Utah State Office of Education questions what type of student data should be public. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Monday, April 8th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
In the opening session of the LDS General Conference over the weekend, the president of the Quorum of 12 Apostles warned Mormons not to fall into what he called the tolerance trap. Boyd K. Packer didn't reference same-sex marriage specifically, but spoke against what he called legalizing vice.
The permissiveness afforded by the weakening of laws of the land to tolerate and legalize acts of immorality does not reduce the serious spiritual consequence that is the result of the violation of God's law of chastity.
The opening session was also noteworthy for the prayer offered by Jean Stevens as it closed, the first time a woman has been asked to pray in a general conference. As the final session wrapped up on Sunday afternoon, Church President Thomas S. Monson urged members to be good citizens of the nations where they live.
May we be tolerant, as well as kind and loving to those who do not share our beliefs.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced several new general authorities at its conference on Saturday as well, and one of them is a guy who used to work on Sundays. Gifford Nielsen played quarterback for the Houston Oilers in the NFL and has worked since as a sportscaster in the Houston area. He grew up in Provo and also played football and basketball for BYU. Nielsen was called to the first quorum of the 70.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas.
Our beloved Father in Heaven, we come before the conclusion of this magnificent opening session of our General Conference. And we do so with an expression of our love for Thee and our great gratitude for the gifts Thou hast given us.
The prayer offered by Jean Stevens at the end of the Saturday morning session of the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was unprecedented. No woman has ever been asked to pray in a General Conference session. The change could be seen as part of an effort to draw attention to the leadership roles Mormon women already serve in their church and a way of countering pressure from some members to ordain women to the LDS priesthood. While the church was holding its general priesthood meeting Saturday evening, about 100 people gathered at the University of Utah to organize a new effort to give Mormon women the same ecclesiastical authority as men. Deborah Jensen, a mother of three from Ogden, was among them. She's added her personal story to the website ordainwomen.org.
I didn't add my name and face to this campaign lightly. I pondered it. I discussed it with my husband. I believe what I said was, you know, I'm not going to let you boss me around, but I want to do this, so what do you think?
20-year-old Hannah Wheelwright is a student at Brigham Young University.
Nothing necessarily wrong with having men ordained to the priesthood. I think that the tragedy is underutilizing the other half of the population of the church. I think that any institution that underuses over 50% of its population is really suffering. And so this would be a way to really invest in the institution that we love and that we want to contribute to.
Perhaps anticipating this gathering, the church posted a video on its news website last week featuring three of its top women leaders. Linda Burton, the general president of the Relief Society, was asked whether women should feel they are not equal to men when they don't hold the priesthood.
I don't think women are after the authority. I think they're after the blessings and are happy that they can access the blessings and power of the priesthood. There are a few that would like both. But most of the women, I think, in the church are happy to have all the blessings. That's what matters most to them.
Other speakers during the weekend conference sessions made other indirect references to what they call the different roles of men and women in the church. Kate Kelly, a human rights lawyer from Washington, D.C., who created the Ordain Women website, says the response so far has been gratifying, and she's optimistic the change will occur in her lifetime.
Eldred G. Smith passed away last week at the age of 106. He was the last person to serve as patriarch to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Smith had been an emeritus general authority since 1979. The Utah State Office of Education is seeking the Attorney General's opinion on what type of student data should be published. The board is asking the Attorney General to reconcile two state statutes they say cause the confusion. But not everyone believes a conflict exists. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Some argue releasing classroom-level testing data allows the public to see how teachers perform, while others say the numbers could be read out of context. State School Superintendent Martel Minlove wrote a letter to Utah Attorney General John Swallow asking for his input. Minlove presented it to the state school board on Friday.
I don't know where else to go with this. We've had this discussion. I think, have agreed previously that there is some confusion as to what we ought to be doing here. This is my best recommendation to you as to how to resolve this issue.
Education officials are concerned that, on one hand, Utah law directs them to publish such data on school performance reports, while another law stresses the confidential nature of student information and teacher evaluations. Republican Senator Howard Stevenson doesn't believe there is a conflict. He says the State Office of Education is refusing to comply with the existing law.
I believe this is a stalling tactic to avoid being required to report the data this year, hoping that they can get the law repealed next year as they tried unsuccessfully to do this last session.
Stevenson sponsored a bill this legislative session that would have made the average test scores of teacher students available online, but that bill did not pass. Another bill that failed to survive the legislative session would have allowed only parents to access the data upon request. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
The latest sales figures for median-priced single-family homes and condominiums in Salt Lake County shows a 20% increase compared to the same time last year. KUER's Bob Nelson has this report on real estate trends.
It's a seller's market, according to Dave Fredrickson, president of the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. He says the number of homes on the market is limited right now. In particular, homes in the median price range of $250,000 and below are selling quickly.
If it's reasonably priced for the house, it's not at all uncommon to get multiple offers. And a lot of those multiple offers are actually even higher than the list because a lot of these buyers are frustrated from missing out or being beat on the last two multiple offer situations they were in.
Then, if a buyer's offer is accepted, it may be a challenge to get a current appraisal for the loan. Fredrickson says property appraisals are out of date and too low because they're based on what realtors call comparables or comps from months ago when homes had less value. He says the good news is things should balance out within the next 6 months as the inventory of homes increases to meet the demand. Kim Cassaday is the president of the Home Finance Division of Zions Bank. She sees two things happening to make the market more balanced. More existing homes will be going on the market and builders will be busier.
We're seeing a lot of activity in our construction loan business, and we've seen an increase in our balances of over 38% over last year, which means people are out building.
Home prices in the Salt Lake area have risen every month since last April, according to the Salt Lake Board of Realtors, and both Fredrickson and Cassaday see no change in that trend. Bob Nelson, KUER News.
Weber County Sheriff's deputies say a 3-year-old girl died after her neck got tangled in the rope holding a swing. Deputies say her father found her critically injured on the backyard swing set on Thursday. She was taken to Primary Children's Medical Center, where she died on Saturday. Her name hasn't been released. Two men and a woman were found dead Friday at a residence in Holbrook, Idaho, near the Utah state line. Oneida County Sheriff Jim Semrad says cash and marijuana plants were found on the property, along with 64 pit bull dogs that were apparently being trained for fighting. A baby and a 2-year-old child were also found in the home unhurt. The Chevron pipeline that leaked thousands of gallons of diesel fuel near Willard Bay is back in operation. Chevron spokesman Gareth Johnstone says the company resumed shipping fuel through the pipeline last weekend. A split in the pipeline is being blamed for spilling thousands of gallons into retaining ponds above the reservoir. 6 beavers were affected by the fuel, and they're being cared for by wildlife rehabilitation specialists. And finally, the president of Southern Utah University is leaving to become president of Eastern Kentucky University. Michael Benson will replace retiring Eastern Kentucky president Doug Whitlock. Benson is set to take over on August 1st after 6 years at Southern Utah. Before that, he was president at Snow College for 5 years. And that is your KUER News Pod for Monday, April 8th. the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Till next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.